I don't know, we might not just take a minute and shout and run around the building for a little bit. Kind of get the kinks out, boy. I thank you for coming back tonight. Thank you for your good attendance. If I haven't helped you, you've certainly helped me. As a preacher, I know when you get up here to preach, it's a whole lot easier when you got a bunch of people looking at you. It's a lot more difficult when the place is empty. When I go to the radio station, I'm standing and looking at a camera, and there's a TV screen on the wall behind me, and all I can see is myself. And I get tired of preaching to me. I take my hide off every week, man. That gets old, but honestly, I do appreciate your attendance and attention. But the Scripture says, let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. So a whole lot of what you get out of any message anywhere is how you're listening. And I've learned that, man. When I got saved, I was driving real early in the morning to work, and I'd listen to Mase Jackson, and right after him, it was all colored preachers. And boy, I liked them. I still like them today. I like preaching to colored people. I do. I had a fellow said he was going to invite me down to Nashville to preach in a black church. I said, man, call me. I'll be there. I like to preach to them. They like to demonstrate in the Spirit. they get lively. I enjoy that. I mean, I'm certainly not against it, and I'm not trying to, you know, get you to do something that's out of character. But honest to goodness, it do you good once in a while to just get beside yourself in love with Jesus Christ, praising Him. John chapter 20, while you're turning, Father, I thank you again for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege of preaching your gospel. Lord, help me not to say anything that I shouldn't. Put a guard upon my lips, Lord, that I'll say everything I should, that I can lift up and exalt Jesus Christ. Once again, I ask you to search us and know our hearts, try us and know our thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, I pray tonight the Holy Ghost will move up and down these aisles. You know our hearts. You know what we have need of. I pray you'll comfort those in need of comfort, strengthen those in need of strength. Lord, convict, reprove, rebuke, edify. Lord, you know what we have need of, and I pray you'll meet that need tonight. And I pray more than anything else that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and exalted, for he certainly is worthy. And Lord, we love you. If there's any way you can do it, I pray you'll come tonight. We long to see you face to face. I don't have any reason to go back home. I can meet you from right here, going up in the air. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And Lord, once again, we love you. And I pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And amen. Now, I appreciate the good singing this week and this weekend, I should say. And it's been a blessing. And hopefully tonight I can give you something that will stir your hearts. And that's been my desire for these messages. I know I can't do it, but I've been praying that the Lord will take it and do something in your heart that will have eternal value to it. Because we're all going to the judgment seat of Christ. If you're sitting here tonight and you're saved, you're going to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're sitting here tonight and you've never been saved, you're going to stand at the white throne judgment, and you're going to hear the Lord say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I certainly wouldn't wish it on you, and you don't have to go. Now, the fact is, the price for your redemption has been paid. Jesus Christ is alive, and he's still in the life-changing, saving business. And so if you go to hell, you got nobody to blame but yourself, and that's just all they are to it. John chapter 20, and I just want to read a couple of verses here and just kind of get an idea. And the Lord put this on my heart, and as always, I don't really have much of an outline. I'm just going to preach for a while, and we'll see what happens. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Of course, the other disciple's John. And they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went to the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now I'm going to stop there. And what I'm preaching on is this subject. The tomb is empty. Run, tell somebody. Amen. Now, isn't that a good message? Amen. I mean, honestly, we have the answer for the world's problems. Amen. I remember back years ago, they had a big war, and they said, man, this is the war to end all wars. And they created a League of Nations. And they're going to bring the world together, and we're going to have peace. And that sounded good, but then they had another big war. and it was a bad one. It was worse than the other one. And so the League of Nations was a joke. So after that war, well, we've had a war to end all wars. And so they created the United Nations. And they declared that it is the next best thing for world peace. The United Nations. It's our best hope. I can't help but laugh. Because there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And the Prince of Peace is the only one who can bring peace. And so the world thinks they can get everybody together, and if they can just get everybody together, and we'll all see that we're all just, you know, good old boys, and we can all just get along, then we'll have peace. But they want peace without the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. They want God's salvation without the Lord Jesus Christ. They want His blessings without Him. And it ain't going to happen. But you and I have the most positive message that the world will ever hear. Now I know they accuse us of being divisive and rowdy and, you know, all kinds of things. But really, we're not necessarily divisive. Now, we do believe in separation. We're not isolated. Certainly not. But we do believe in separation. There's places I don't go simply because it's scripturally unclean. There's people I don't hang out with because they're unclean. And they will rub off on me. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And so there's a reason for separation. The Lord said, come out from among them, be ye separate. And so separation is a Bible doctrine. It's the will of God, even your sanctification. So the Lord would expect us to stay away from things that's harmful to us. You young people, the Bible declares to flee youthful lust. I'll tell you, you need to run from it. Amen. Well, man, some of you young ladies, I'm going to tell you right now, the best equipment you can have on a date is track shoes. As you may have to run like a turkey. But honestly, we have the right message. And I hope tonight you can leave here with a desire to take that message to somebody else. Because the fact is, men, women, boys, and girls are still lost. Hell is still real. Eternity is just that. And if people die without Jesus Christ, they are really going to go to hell. And in today's society, everybody's kind of just hardened to that fact. I mean, you watch these movies, you know, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's blowing everybody up and killing everybody. And, you know, when the cameras go off, these guys get up and go to the Coke machine. They're not really dead. I mean, it's all fake. But in real life, when somebody dies, if they've never been saved, well, you know, gravity will take its natural pull and they'll find out that hell's not a curse word. That's all there is to it. I knew that when I was 9 years old. When my dad was killed, my dad was begging for somebody to pull him out of the fire. I'd never heard a sermon on hell, but I saw from his reactions, I knew it was real. You didn't have to convince me of it. I knew it. So when the Lord convicted me that I was a sinner and I was going to hell, I knew He was right, and I knew if He didn't do something, I was going to get there. I earned it. I deserved it, like every other sinner. Well, I got good news tonight. If you're a sinner, I got good news for you. If there are any sinners in here, I got good news for you. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. You pardon me, but that's the best news I ever heard. When I was at the bottom of the barrel, alone in this world without God and without Christ and headed for hell, and I was as miserable as a poison dog under conviction, and I didn't have a clue what I ought to do, and my wife took me down to a little Baptist church. And that old preacher got done preaching. He said, if anybody here wants to get saved, come down to this altar. Now, I didn't know what was going on. I was sitting all the way back in the back against the wall. I was ashamed of myself. I didn't want nobody to see me. But when he gave that invitation, I didn't look around to see if there was anybody I need to refer the message to. I didn't look around to determine if there was anybody there I was any better than. I knew I deserved to go to hell. And I got down that aisle, and I went my way to Calvary. I called on the Lord Jesus Christ. Got a bath in the blood, got a bath on the inside, got cleaned up. Boy, I tell you, I got clean. For the first time in my life, I was clean from my filthiness. Boy, I'll tell you, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I got a message for any sinner tonight. Jesus Christ can still clean you up. He can still save you. He can still give you something real. Thank God he'll put it right down inside you where you can't lose it. He'll put a skip in your step. He'll make you get up in the morning. You'll feel a little better about going to work. You'll feel a little better about your co-workers. Hey, you'll go to work with a smile on your face instead of a frown. You'll go to work looking like you got a purpose rather than your face long enough to put a bridle on. You'll feel like going to somebody and saying, hey, guess what? I got saved. I went home that day from church and I got the telephone up. I called my mama. I said, Mom, guess what? I got saved. Hey, I got saved. Amen. I better call everybody I knew, tell them, hey, I got saved. I went to work on Monday morning in the coal mine. We're back there in that black hole in the ground, about 2 miles under the ground. I began to witness to everybody in there. I went to every man on the job. I said, hey, guess what? I got saved. God saved me yesterday. I got cleaned up. Hey, I'm right with God now. I went to my old ungodly boss. He was cussing, swearing. I said, man, I got saved. He looked at me and said, well, how do you know you got saved? I'd never read a Bible. I didn't know. I just knew God done something for me. But I couldn't give him a scripture. I didn't have a clue. And I went around the rib there in the mine and began to pray. And man, I had a knot in my stomach. I thought, man, I know I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I believe I'm saved, but how do you know? I mean, what do you tell somebody? And I thank God old Donald Cook was working there. And I went over and got with Don. I said, how do you know you're saved? And he opened up the old black back book of God. He turned to 1 John 5:13. I read that thing, got my assurance, never doubted since. That was 43 years ago. Hey, I've been happy as a dead pig in the sun ever since. I'll tell you something. It's still real. It still works. The tomb is empty. He's alive. Hey, go tell somebody. Amen. Run to them. Tell them. It's real. Well, man, did you know today, besides being Easter, it's also April Fool's Day? Now, if you translate that into English, it means Charlie Darwin Day. Now, he's the biggest fool I ever read after. Along with Marx and Huxley and Lenin and some of the rest of them. But you think about it. This message is an urgent message. Man, Magdalene ran to tell somebody. The disciples ran to verify this thing. And you read Matthew's account. They departed with fear and great joy and they ran to tell somebody. Isn't that great? When you think about it, if you left going to work in the morning and you passed by your neighbors and their house was in flames, I know you got enough character. You would stop and you'd do whatever you could to get them out of that burning house. I know you would. And you believe, you tell me, and I believe it, that we believe if they die without Christ, they go to a devil's hell and they're tormented day and night forever and ever. Why don't we get the urgency to get them to Christ like we would if their house was on fire? Well, we don't want to upset anybody. We don't want people to think we're nuts or extreme or radical. Or hey, if this is a reality check, they are going to die without Christ and go to a devil's hell. And you and I have the truth and an opportunity to tell them. Well, what a blessing. I remember probably, I don't know how many years ago, when Brother Allen and his family were here, I had the opportunity to go on visitation with him, and I make no bones about it, Al and his family, they're my favorite missionaries. And I've my desk, I've got their prayer card right there on my desk. When I sit down every morning, I get, that's the first thing I do. I go to my desk, I sit down, I pray, and I read, and there they are. They're right in front of me, and I pray for them every day. I love them. But me and Alan had the opportunity to go on visitation together. And boy, we had a time. I mean, it was just good fellowship. Man, I love the guy. I love his family. And boy, I love these kids up here. I mean, these girls that have grown up in this church, man, play, I love that stuff. I have no musical ability, but I sure do love somebody that can play it. But we were up in Winfield to visit this guy, and ultimately he passed away, and I preached his funeral, but he was an old man and lost. But he'd listened to me on the radio, and he somehow or another, he got in contact with me and wanted me to come see him. And so I visited him, and that day we went and visited the guy. And on the way back, we passed a beer joint. And I said, Al, I said, let's go in this beer joint. And he kind of looked at me kind of. And I said, no, we're not going in our drink. So I just pulled in. We go in, and the guy that run it was one of my old buddies from high school, one of my old drinking buddies. And he passed away. I didn't even know it. And so when I came in, I began to talk to the bartender, and she was behind the bar, and when I walked up, she said, I mean, this place, I mean, the whole bar is full. And this lady said, what can I do for you? What can I get for you? And I said, well, it's not what you can get for me, it's what I can give you. And I handed her a gospel track, and when I gave it to her, she just backed up. And just kind of put her hands behind her back and never said nothing. And so I thought, well, here we go, man. So I looked around, and I just walked around the bar and gave everybody in there a gospel tract. And then I preached to them. And nobody raised their head. Nobody raised a beer. Nobody said a word. They just sat there. And brother, I raised it up, and I said, the tomb is empty. Amen. Man, it's a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Amen. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. I said, years ago, I used to sit on these same bar stools right here, just like you are today. And I said, something happened to me. I run head on to the risen, living Savior, the one that's alive, the one that can deliver you from dope, the one that can deliver you from that alcohol, the one that can give you new life, real life, the one that can change your life. I run head on into Him. Hey, Paul said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I gave them the gospel. Nobody said a word. They sat there like that. And I finished and I started to walk toward the door. And one young lady sitting there grabbed me by the arm and she said, pray for us, preacher. We need it. And she was serious. She was under conviction. She wanted to know about that Savior. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, the tomb is empty. We need to run and tell somebody. Hey, get beside yourself. Amen. I mean, I think sometimes we just think too highly of ourselves. Amen. We don't want to put ourselves out. We don't want people to think we're, a little extreme. I had a fellow, they didn't have a pastor in a church, and this fellow I work with, he asked, he told him, well, he said, I work with this preacher, said, you might get him up here. And they said, oh, no, we don't want him. He's too extreme. He's too radical. See, I preach in the street. I'm one of these nuts that get out on the street corner and wave a Bible around. That makes me a radical. Honestly, we're not. We're really not. I mean, I am docile out in the street, man. You guys know I'm a gentleman. I'm on visitation. I'm a gentleman. I don't deride people. I don't badmouth them. I'd like to, but I don't. I mean, honestly, you just can't do it. They're already going to hell. They don't need me to kick them over the edge. Now, when I get in a pulpit in a place like this, I'll preach. When I get on the radio, that's my pulpit. I say whatever I want, and I tell them if they don't like it, stick their head in a weenie roaster. That'll really give them a charge. But the fact is, the tomb is empty. It's an urgent message. We need to run, go quickly, and tell folks about it. We ought to have an urgency about Jesus Christ. We ought to have an urgency about telling people about Him. They're lost. They are lost. I mean, I said it, but it's true. That's the most forlorn word I've ever heard. Lost. Lost. And they have no hope. I mean, these guys are out here, they're running the bars, they're breaking in homes, they're looking for something to satisfy that addiction, they're trying to find something that'll satisfy that longing down in there, that empty hole, that something is missing and they can't find anything to fill it, and they've tried everything the world's got and they can't find any satisfaction. And you and I have the truth, we have the message that will absolutely turn their life around. It still works. I've got all the confidence in the world in my Savior. He's still able. And right now, the Bible declares, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. While this age is still moving, we need to be moving. It may close tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I ain't worried about it. I mean, if North Korea shoots one over here, let her rip, baby. Old Donald Trump said he had a bigger button, he'll shoot several back. Have at it, man. Have at it. Hey, this world's going to blazes anyhow. I ain't worried about the ozone. Oh, Al Gore's made a mint running around trying to... He's an eco-terrorist scaring everybody to death over this stuff. It's nonsense. I read a book of this guy. He's a real economist, not a Christian. He's just a scientist. But he wrote a book about all this, you know, the ice caps melting. And when he got finished, he just concluded that it's just normal. It's just the climate just rotating. It's just cycles. He said, when that ice melts, you find trees in there and you find stumps. He said, that tells me it's happened before. This ain't nothing new. It just runs in cycles. And when he got done, he completely debunked everything Al Gore stands for. And this guy's a scientist. And he wasn't writing from some Christian standpoint. He was just telling the facts. I ain't worried about the ozone. Why, boy? The OL, he's worried about climate, you know, change and global warming. Well, it's going to warm. But I'll tell you, it's going to be the living God that's going to warm it up. He's not going to allow man to destroy it. He's going to do it himself. And when he takes vengeance, brother, it's going to be, hail Columbia, Katie, bar the door. It'll be, I mean, when he cuts loose, buddy, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. These people that talk about, I just believe you ought to live it. Well, you keep on believing that. And I'll tell you what, when we're all caught up in the rapture, you'll be left behind, and then you'll have your chance to live it. Amen. You can put your theory to the test. I pray thee have me excused. But I don't want to be around when the Antichrist shows up. I don't want to be around when they start passing out the mark of the beast. I don't want to be around when death and hell are personified and turned loose on the earth. I don't want to be around when those locusts come out of the bottomless pit and begin to sting men and torment them. I don't want to be around when all the judgments of God are poured out on this earth through the vials and all the damnation that you find in the book of the Revelation. I'm not going to be here. No, sir. I chose sides a long time ago. I went to that old empty tomb. I verified the fact that it was empty. I verified the fact that Jesus Christ was alive. I verified the fact that He's still saving sinners. I trusted Him. He saved me, and He saved me from the wrath to come. Hey, I'm just good in heaven with the door shut. You pardon me. I'm going to take a running fit here in a minute. I may not make it if I get to the door and fall out with it. One of you guys jump up and finish the message. Amen. Hey, it's good to be saved. I'm happy. I am. I mean, some of you, if you're happy, tell your face about it, okay? Hey, it's good to be saved. There ain't no point in going around being miserable all the time. And a lot of folks got problems. I know they do. It's like I said the other night. I mean, if you've had to walk away from a grave this week, you may not feel much like shouting. I mean, my wife's mama passed away here recently. Boy, and a fantastic lady. She was like a mother to me, and we miss her. We do, all of us. The family misses her, and it's a blow. But we saw her not as others that have no hope. But I tell you, we find comfort in the testimony she left behind. If folks don't know whose side you're on, you better choose up. You know, I've preached funerals where nobody knew for sure if they were saved or if they wasn't. I'll give you two examples. There's a fellow I work with. I'll get done here in a minute, I promise. I may not do any preaching, but I was working with this young man. He'd come to work. I'd witness to him. said, man, you need to get saved. I'd say, I don't know why. Just the Lord put a burden on me for this fella. He's 22 years old. I'd say, man, you need to get saved. You need to get right with God. He'd get mad at me every time. He'd say, shut up. Leave me alone. I was raised in church. I know what to do. Leave me alone. I'd say, man, you need to get saved. He'd get mad. Tell me to shut up. And then he'd go on down the line. He'd work down a couple of stations down. And so this went on for a while, a week or 2 weeks. I don't know how long. So finally one day he came into work and he went on down to his station. Well, he wasn't there long. He came back. And I seen him going down the aisle. And I knew that was odd because you didn't leave your station till break time or lunchtime. I mean, you work. I mean, it's assembly. It's production. And it's like this. Reach and get it. And that's the way I like it. Every job I've ever had has been that kind of a job. I like it because I have no patience. I like to reach and get it. And so he came by and I stopped him. I mean, the Lord was just burdening me. And I said, man, look, you need to get saved. And boy, he really got mad. And he blessed me out and he said, leave me alone. I told you, I know what to do. Leave me alone. And he left. He left work. And it wasn't long after that we got the report that he came around the curve on the wrong side of the road and he went out into eternity. But the worst part of the story, I know where he went. I mean, based on his testimony. But for me, the worst part of the story, we went down to the layout at the funeral and his wife, young lady, I think she was around 20, 21, and two little kids about like this. And she came up to us and followed us, I know, from here all the way to the road across that parking lot crying. Is there any hope? Did he leave a testimony? Did he tell anybody he got saved? Is there any hope? What do you say? Man tore my heart out. What do you say? No hope. That's no way to go. I've preached funerals of people just like that. Nobody knew whose side they were on. They don't know if he went to heaven or if he went to hell, but he went to one of them. There is no purgatory or limbo. I mean, you know, they're invented and they're, you know, convenient. They're just not true. And so the tomb is empty. It's an urgent message. We need to run tell somebody. I'll tell you another one. I came by, I'd witnessed this fellow before, and he'd cuss me out. Boy, he was an old man, and he was hateful, cuss you out. And the Lord was convicting me to deal with this guy, and I didn't want to. I didn't want to fool with him. I didn't. And I came down the road, man, that day, and it was just all over me. And I said, Lord, I don't want to fool with that guy. And I drove past his driveway and kept going. And I couldn't go on. The Lord was just really on me. And so I stopped and turned around. I went back. And when I pulled up in this guy's driveway up to his house, he came out on the porch. And I thought, oh, no, here we go. I was dreading it. I really was dreading it. And so I got out of my vehicle and I started walking toward him. But the closer I got, I could see tears streaming down his face. And I thought, wow, something bad must have happened. And when I got up close to him, he looked at me and he said, preacher, I want to get saved. Woo, that old man, that fish just jumped in the boat, man. He was ready. But that wasn't the end of the story. That was on a Saturday. And the very next Saturday, he went out into eternity through a car wreck. And I had stopped back there in the middle of the week and talked to that old boy, and he was getting mad. He was getting cleaned up. He had owned some houses, you might say, of ill repute. And he said, I'm closing all that mess down. He said, I can't be right with God and have that stuff going on. I've done told the people to get out of there. I'm shutting her down. He said, I'm going to serve God. And boy, that Saturday, he went on to be with the Lord. And I thought, man, what if I hadn't have stopped? What if I'd have just went on? What if I'd have done like most of us and said, well, I don't want to bother anybody. The tomb's empty. Man, run, tell somebody. Heaven's real. Hell's real. Summertime's coming, man. The weather's going to change here. Before you know it, we're going to have an opportunity to get back out in the street, to get back out door to door. Well, man, some of you guys in here got a backbone of iron. I've been in the street with you. You need to get busy. Some of you have kind of slacked off. And you're a blessing. I mean, the more the merrier. We get out in the street, man, we encourage one another. I mean, I love to preach. And we get in the street. It don't bother me a bit to do the preaching. You guys, you do all the personal work. That's fine. I'll just preach. I like it. If we stay 4 hours, I'll preach 4 hours. I've done it. You remember, we preached 4 hours in it between 99 and 101 degrees all day. We can do it. I'm an old geezer, but I ain't done yet. I ain't dead yet, man. Don't bury me before, you know. Tomb's empty. Run tell somebody. It's an urgent message. And when I say urgent, I mean now. There's no more work for salvation. Jesus finished it. When he got up from the dead, he said it's finished on the cross. He went down to the depths of hell and came out, and he purchased our salvation with his very own blood. Why, man, how can you not tell somebody about that? Your sins are forgiven. The work is done. Go quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, to the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in. Be like Peter Cartwright, that old circuit riding preacher. He'd ride around. He's a great big goomer too. But he'd ride down the road on his horse, and guy be walking by the road, old Peter Cartwright would bail off that horse right on top of him, knock him down, and he'd sit on the guy on his shoulders and pin him to the ground, and he'd put his fist in his face. And he'd say, "Friend, dost thou not feel the Holy Spirit striving with thee?" He compelled him. I ain't never done that, but I have thought about it. I went to a beer joint one time, one of my favorites, when I was lost. And the bartender, I witnessed to him and everybody in there and preached to him, gave him a gospel track. And the guy, he was really ashamed, and was just a short time after that, he quit his job and took a job in a convenience store, got right with God. Imagine that. I mean, it wasn't a whole lot to it. I just gave him a gospel tract, gave him my testimony, and left. And the Lord turned him around. I talked to another fellow. He was working a package store, and he said, "Well, if I get right with God, I'll have to quit this job." And I said, "Buddy, ain't nothing worth going to hell over, especially a bottle of beer." I said, "What you ought to do, you ought to get right with God and let God take care of the rest of it. He can do better than this mess." Well, that old boy quit that job, got saved, and the Lord gave him a job making about $4 more on the hour. The last time I saw him, he just happy, man, just having a time. Jesus Christ is so much better to you than the devil ever thought about. Isn't that true? Now, a whole lot of you guys are raised in church. You're raised in Christian families. You don't know the depths of sin. Amen. Thank God you don't. And I hope you never do. But for those of us that came up out of the sewer, we know what we were saved from. I know where I came from, brother. I'll tell you. I know what I deserve. I know if I got what I deserve right now, since God saved me, I'd go to hell. If it depended on me, any of it. But it don't. Thank God he did the work. He finished it. And it's up to him to keep me. If I had to keep myself, I'd lost it all a long time ago. Because I got an old nature, and it's just wicked. Well, you and I have an opportunity to run and tell folks. Now, I hope you do. You say, "Well, I'm not much of a talking to people," and you may not be. You know, I said this morning, she hath done what she could. Now, if you do what you can, you can't do any more than that. If you've done what you could, you can't do any more than that. I'm not putting a false conviction on you. Just do what you can do. But I guarantee you that everybody in here can pass out a gospel tract. And those gospel tracts are just loaded with scripture. And the Lord will use it. But now some of you, I know some of you got the gift of gab. And you can make friends and you can talk to anybody. You don't know strangers. I'm not that way, man. I'm not. I was really bashful growing up, and I've had to struggle with that all of my saved life. I mean, it just, I don't know how to carry a conversation. And if I knock on doors when I go in the home, I kind of look around and see if they got stuffed animals on the wall. I figure they like hunting or fishing or something. I'll try to talk about that to get the ice broke, and as soon as I can get them in a conversation, I try to stick them. I try to take the Word of God and just take their hide off, boy. Because that's what I'm there for. And so, you and I have the opportunity to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ has allowed us this privilege. Don't ever take it for granted. It's a privilege. He says this, "God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." You and I are standing in the stead of Jesus Christ, begging men and women to be reconciled to God. That ought to be one of our primary purposes. Isn't that true? I mean, you don't have to do anything silly or out of the way. But now you just think about it in a day's time where you go. You go to school, you go to the store, you go to work, you go, I mean, we go somewhere. There's somebody we could give a gospel tract to. What you ought to do, you don't have to start out big. I tell you what, do. Pray about it and ask God to help you. And decide, I'm going to pass out one gospel tract a week. That ain't hard. You ought to be able to find somebody you give a tract to. Pray about it. And then, as time goes along, give out two tracts a week. And just keep building on it until you're just comfortable just walking around, just like old Bill Borio giving them to everybody. Old Bill Borio, he'd come in here and take a buffalo running fit, man. What a blessing. But that guy, man, he'd pass out tracts. He's the nut that flew over the Vatican and dumped all that stuff out. He told about that in here. Man, I thought I'd lose it. But he was doing something for the Lord. It's like the guy, he went down, he got saved. He hadn't been saved long. The preacher told him, get on fire for God. He went down to the local liquor store, porn store, and all that was in this building. He went down there and dumping gasoline all over everything. Had a match, going to torch it. And they called the law, and the cops got up there and stopped him. And he was all broken and crying. He said, well, I was just getting on fire for Jesus. He just took it literally, man. But you know, we ought to be excited about Jesus Christ. And you can enjoy sports. You can enjoy, some people enjoy golf. Now, I like the commercials where they had the guy that he's playing golf and all at once a football player breaks in and tackles the guy. Yeah, now that we're getting somewhere now. I never figured it out. You play basketball, man, and everybody's screaming and yelling. You're shooting a foul shot and you can't hear, man. There's so much noise. And you got to concentrate. And here's these guys out here playing golf, and even the announcers. Oh, he's got he ain't got no more concentration than that. He don't need to be playing. I did read in the Guinness Book of World Records a guy had held the record for throwing his golf club the farthest after he missed a shot. Now, honestly, it's a game of skill. I know it is. There's a lot of people enjoy it. I'm not knocking it. I mean, that ball goes where you hit it. You can't blame nobody else. That's all they are to it. You hit it. But it's an urgent message. The tomb is empty. Go tell somebody. That ain't hard, is it? I mean, honestly, out of five recorded messages in the scriptures the Apostle Paul preached, three of them is his testimony of how he got saved. So there must be something to it. Now, you can tell somebody what God did for you, can't you? I mean, honestly, you ought to be able to. And you don't have to be elaborate, and you don't have to preach a three-hour sermon. Just tell them, hey, the Lord saved me. The Lord changed my life. The Lord gave me something real. Man, I'm happy. You need it. Man, ain't that hard? The tomb's empty. Go tell somebody. We're ambassadors, and it's a real opportunity. I want to say, secondly, it's an exciting message. Those women left there from the tomb when they heard the announcement with fear and great joy. It's exciting. You think about it. They'd lost all their hope. I preached about that one night. They lost all their hope. Their leader was dead. Their king, their Christ, their Messiah had been crucified. They'd give up. They decided it was over. There was nowhere else to go. They'd wasted 3.5 years following this guy. They thought for sure he was the Redeemer of Israel. And they threw all of their hopes in on him. Now he's dead. And they'd give up. And then suddenly, there's an announcement. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Woo, he's alive. And those women, they go tell him. And boy, I'll tell you, when Mary Magdalene meets him there in the garden, she thought he was the gardener. I mean, you know, there's a garden there. He was laid in the garden too. That's such a contrast. Over here, they're crucifying people with horrendous death and suffering. And right here is a beautiful garden. And I don't know what he was doing. He may have been picking some flowers. I don't know. She thought he was the gardener. And about that time, he spoke to her and said, Mary. Boy, when she heard that voice. Woo! And then he said, touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell my brethren. Go tell. And boy, on the way, the women met him that had saw him there in Matthew's account. And this is an hour, not even an hour later. He'd done been to the third heaven and back. And they held him by the feet and worshiped him. Oh, hallelujah. When that rapture takes off, ladies and gentlemen, we're going out of here at the speed of light and a whole lot faster. We're going up past the moon. If you see the moon, you'll have to look backwards to see it. We're going out of here so fast that ain't nobody going to have time to breathe. I mean, you think about it. We're going to the eons of glory, to the third heaven in such a speed. But we're going to have a brand new body. We won't need a rocket ship. We're going to take a plain air ride. And man, we're going to be kicking up gold dust. We're going to be taking running fits. My soul, some of y'all ain't ever got excited. When you land on New Jerusalem, that street of gold, that's so pure, it's transparent. You can see through it. When you walk through that gate of pearl, that thing must be 20 feet high. And you step through that gate into New Jerusalem. And you think, man, I'm here. It's real. I've read about it. I've never seen it, but I'm here. Boy, you're going to come loose. If you didn't have a brand new body, you would just blow apart, man. You're going to get excited. Sure you are. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what's going on in heaven? Read about it in Revelation. Man, they're shouting. They're praising God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Boy, they're having a time. Why? Why can't we enjoy a little of it here? I mean, I don't have to wait till I die and get to heaven to enjoy it. I can do it now. Amen. Boy, that ought to make a Methodist shout tonight. I don't think we got any Methodists in here, do we? It's exciting. What's more exciting in new life? I'll have to quit here in a minute. I got to go to the radio station. What's more exciting in a new life? Now think about it. You ruined the first one, didn't you? Well, listen, I'll tell you, I mean, some of y'all, family, your family was tore all to pieces, blowed apart. You was all screwed up, fooling around with dope and booze and God knows what. Some of you were financial wrecks. I knew a guy one time, he had $30,000 in credit card debt. He was in such a mess, he was going out to file bankruptcy. He was a financial wreck, boy. I mean, he was. There's people with all kinds of problems. And boy, they run head on into the Lord Jesus Christ and he knocks the devil out of them. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Boy, I got in on that. Amen? I got in on it. The Lord give clean slate, man. He just wiped my sins away. Cast them in the depths of the sea. Cast them behind his back. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. I got clean. I got forgiven. I got a brand new life. Amen. What a thing. Well, what a message we got. Why in the world would we want to conceal it and hide it and act like we don't know that we should tell somebody? Not only is it new life, what's more exciting than abundant life? Now, I mean, you may not be rich. You may be poor as Job's turkey. I don't know. The Lord didn't promise you you'd be rich. He promised he'd supply your needs. But as Jamie Colby says, you can't take it with you. And it don't matter how much you got, you're going to leave it. That's what they said. When Elvis died, somebody said, how much did he leave? And somebody said he left it all. They're still fighting over it. And you know what's scary? That bird's still raking in 30, 40 million a year. And he'd been dead since 77. What a thing. I go show you where the world's heart's at. They're just as miserable as he was. I mean, people sing about what they love, don't they? Sure they do. You guys love the Lord, you sing about it, don't you? I mean, the songs we sing in here, they glorify and lift up Jesus Christ because we love him. The world sings about what they love. Why would a believer want to listen to that junk? I mean, really? this country stuff. They sing about, you know, somebody shot their dog and the woman got his house and run him off, and now he's got, you know, he's sleeping in a tent out and with the good old boys, and they're going coon hunting, and their coon dog got lost. And now, personally, I never did care for country music myself. I mean, call me the breeze man. But you know, why would we even need to listen? All they sing about is sex and drugs and filth and perversion and God knows what. Well, now, that stuff can't help you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. But you can enjoy an abundant life in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where you're at. You can be living in a little shack, man, and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been proven too many times over. Well, I want to say what's more exciting than eternal life. John said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, I know I got it. Do you know? Do you know? Have you got eternal life? Do you know? Well, why can't you tell somebody? I mean, really, why can't you? You say, well, I'm just not that. Well, give them a gospel tract. She has done what she could. I just imagine Mary at the table after she had anointed his head and his feet. She began to wipe his feet with her hair. Well, you talk about a picture of submission and humility. Now, I tell you, that just tears me up. Because sometimes I get, you know, I don't know how many, I get going, I get carried on. Man, that'll put you in your place. Well, I want to say this. The tomb's empty. Go run, tell somebody. It's a fruit-bearing message. If you don't tell anybody, how are they going to hear? I mean, you've read Romans 10. I know you have. How can they hear without a preacher? And how are they going to believe if they don't hear? Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's a fruit-bearing message. In John chapter 15, he wants us to bear fruit. More fruit and much fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Matthew 13:23 says. Now you may not be 100-fold. You may just be a 20 or a 30. Okay. Have you done what you could? I don't know. Have you done what you could? If you've done what you could, then you shouldn't feel guilty. That's best you can do. If you've done what you could. It's a fruit-bearing message. We're to sow the Word of God. I read about a fellow one time. He went into a Jewish pawnbroker's pawn shop in Chicago. And when he came in, this guy, he belligerent, and he began to witness to him. And, he didn't believe in Christ or the New Testament or any of that. I mean, he's a Jew, and he, you know, there it is. And this fellow kept witnessing to him, but he kept quoting a verse of Scripture. He kept saying, "It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." And he must have quoted that five or six times. And finally, the guy ran him out, told him to get out. And so he went home, and for about 2 weeks, he prayed for this guy. And then he went back. And as soon as he stepped through the door, the guy looked at him and said, "Well, hello there, mister. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." He'd memorized it from him quoting it to him. But the Word of God's the sword of the Spirit, is it not? That's why you got these stickers on your vehicles and signs out here by the road. And I mean, really, that's what it's all about. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerning thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. When you read that book, it reads you. When you put the Word of God out, the Holy Spirit takes it, His sword, and He just takes their hide off. And you don't have to argue with them. I mean, if you got in a sword fight, you wouldn't say, "Well, my sword was made in Damascus." And, you know, it may not be as good as some swords, but, you know, it's still a pretty good sword. You wouldn't argue all that foolishness. If you got in a sword fight, man, you'd pull your sword and you'd go for brains. You'd draw blood. And so all we need to do, we don't have to argue about it, just pull the old black back 66 out and just let them have it, amen. Give it to them. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no darkness or shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. God is angry with the wicked every day. The wicked shall be turned into hell with all the nations that forget God. You ought to memorize scripture. Every time you witness to somebody, you ought to give them scripture. You ought to say, you're going to die. You're going to go to a devil's hell. You're going to hear God say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You're going to a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You're going to a place where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, have no rest day nor night. Hey, you ought to give them the scripture. You ought to say what John told them when he saw that final judgment and the horrific scene that he saw there. I mean, in Revelation chapter 20, John began to preach about the final judgment. If you can imagine, I can't imagine. I'm glad I'm on the winning side, but you and I are going to stand on the right side of this thing and say amen to their damnation. If you got friends that are lost and they die and you don't witness to them and their blood's on your hands, listen, at the final judgment, you will have to say amen to their damnation as they're tossed into the lake of fire. And somebody said that old song, "No Tears in Heaven." They're not wiped away till after the final judgment. Read it in Revelation 21. John said, "I saw a white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there's found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's the final end of all the unsaved. Will you imagine that? This urgent message. It's an exciting message. It's a fruit-bearing message. Have you ever led anybody to Christ? Have you ever even tried? You ought to make your mind up to at least make an effort. You ought to try. Don't go home empty-handed. Now I'll tell you, if nothing else, ladies, you can back your husband. The Bible says you'll part alike at the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, if you back your husband, encourage him and stand with him and stand behind him and help him and support him, and yeah, the scripture says you'll part alike. If he's got any rewards coming, you'll get a part in it. Yes, sir. Boy, isn't that something? I look forward to it. I hope I do enough to earn a crown. Because if I get one, I'm dead sure going to toss it at his feet. That's right. It's a fruit-bearing message. We're to sow the word of God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now I'm getting ready to quit. I know I get going. I get too long sometimes. And I'm done. I really am. The message ain't, I've still got several more points, but I'm done. I'm going to quit. I'm glad tonight. I'm glad I don't have a myth for a Bible. I'm glad I don't have to look for some original somewhere that doesn't exist. I'm glad I've got the Word and the words of God. I can turn here. This is God speaking to me. I can bow on my face and I can speak to Him. But it's real. And it works. Hey, the tomb's empty. Run tell somebody. Will you do it? I hope you will. I promise you, you'll never be sorry. Will you bow your heads? I'm done. I'm going to pray, and if you have a need tonight, if you need to come to the altar, you may not. I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to you. You know what the Lord said to you. If that tomb is empty, you need to run and tell somebody. Lord, thank you again for the privilege of preaching.